Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
And for those that are brand new to the church, brand new, of course, to this series, we are in a series on the Holy Spirit, as you saw in that video. And we started it on Mother's Day, so a couple weeks back. And in week one of this series, we focused on the person of the Holy Spirit. So who the Holy Spirit is and how he operates in our lives. And so we talked about how the Holy Spirit comforts us and counsels us and guides us. And really, he wants to be your best friend. Then in week two, part two of this series, last week, we leaned into the power of the Holy Spirit that's available for every single one of us. Can I get an amen in God's house? And then today, man, I'm so excited about this message. We're going to have a lot of fun, going to be very practical. But today we're talking all about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So if you're a note taker in the house, we believe you're a history maker, and you're going to have a lot of things to jot down today. So grab something to take notes with, or maybe follow along on the YouVersion Bible app. We got digital notes there. Then also, of course, you got to grab your Bible if you got one with you. And our main text today, part three of this series, is going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'm going to start in verse 1 here in just a moment, and I'm going to read out the NIV, the New International Version. And maybe you didn't bring a Bible with you. Maybe you don't own a Bible. If you're in the room, we'll have a giant Bible on the screen behind me. But 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is where we're going to be. And then, of course, we'll move around a little bit like we have during this series. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Here's what it says, starting in verse 1. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit. So our topic, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. Now hit pause for just a second. I know some of you are still getting there because I jumped the gun a little bit. But that word uninformed is really important. In fact, in your Bible, some translations use the word ignorant. So the Apostle Paul is writing here to a church he started, and he's letting them know, hey, I need to tell you some things about gifts of the Spirit because you are uninformed. You're ignorant to it. You don't know about them, and you also don't know how to use them. Now, keep in mind, I'm going to keep reading here in just a second, but keep in mind, this was written over 2,000 years ago. But what's really sad and what's really unfortunate in the church in the present, 2021, is we have far too many Christians that are still uninformed when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit. I can prove it to you by research. The Barna Group, they did a study, and they found out, sadly, that two-thirds of Christians do not use their spiritual gifts. That's really unfortunate, friend. And so Paul is telling them, hey, I don't want you to be uninformed, and I'm telling you, I don't want you to be uninformed. So that's all the bad news. The good news is we're going to all walk away after the message today saying, you know what, I know about spiritual gifts. I get it. Like the light has come on. And so that's the good news for you. I'll keep reading, and let's move down to verse 4, 1 Corinthians 12 still. Paul goes on, and he says this. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Holy Spirit distributes them. The different kinds of service, but it's the same God. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is given for the common good. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you so much, and what a great day it's been already to be in your house with your people. We're so grateful, God, for what you're doing. This is your church. It's not my church. It's not their church. It's your church. And we're so grateful for what you're doing in your church. And I just pray today for every single person underneath the sound of my voice that all of us, we would lean in to hear what you have to say, that we would all grow together. Really, we're about to go on an exciting journey. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak so clearly that every single one would leave this message and after the service today would say, you know what, I heard from God. We love you so much. And even now I pray that you'd raise up that expectation in all of us that you've got something perfect and individual to say to each one of us. We love you so much. And it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Well, let's start our journey together by kind of getting on the same page, because we got different denominations represented in the house, different church backgrounds, no church backgrounds. And I love that about our church, that we're non-denominational and we got all different sorts of people. And so let's start our journey by defining biblically. So not what my opinion is or your opinion, but biblically what a spiritual gift is, okay? So if you're taking notes, get ready to jot this down. A spiritual gift is a supernatural ability given to all Christians to do God's work on earth. I want to say that again. This is foundational, okay? A spiritual gift is a supernatural ability. It's not a natural talent. It's supernatural, and it's given to all Christians. Every single one of you, everybody watching online, everyone, it's for us. And they're given for a purpose to do God's work here on earth. You could say it this way, to make a difference. And as was alluded to in our main text in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there are many different gifts. In fact, if you go on a study in the New Testament, by my count at least, you'll find around 27 different spiritual gifts that are listed. In fact, there's all these different lists in the New Testament of spiritual gifts. You'll find one later on in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, our main text. You'll find a list in Romans chapter 12, and then you'll find another one in Ephesians chapter 4 and 1 Peter chapter 4. And personally, I don't even think those four lists, I don't even think they're exhaustive. They're all a little bit different. And so what that means to me is that maybe, just maybe, there's even some other gifts that aren't even represented in those lists. But we at least see around 27 in those four lists. But regardless, there's an incredible buffet. How many of y'all know we like a good buffet, okay? And there's an incredible buffet of spiritual gifts available for you. Like they're here for you. And the truth is, like, hear me loud and clear. The truth is, most Christians do not have a problem with 99% of the spiritual gifts. There's one that makes them real nervous and shake at the knees. And you know what I'm talking about? It's the gift of speaking in tongues. But can I tell you something? That's just one of the gifts. There's a whole bunch of them that are available for you and for me. And how many of y'all know we need them in the church? We need them represented in God's house. Can I get a good amen from somebody? All right, you're tracking with me here. And so today, again, we're going to have some fun. We're going to go on a journey together. And we're going to look at two of those lists. We don't have time to go through all of them. There's even maybe another list or two represented in the Bible in the New Testament. But we're just going to pick two of the lists. And here in just a little bit, we're going to walk through them just point by point, just explaining practically what these gifts look like in operation in the church and also outside of the church as we interact with people. Again, it's going to be a lot of fun. But before we even do that, just to get you thinking, okay, I want your brain turned on, all right? Just to get you thinking, I want to have a little fun and give you like a scenario, kind of a lighthearted example of some of the different gifts that we're going to cover in a moment, of them in operation practically, okay? And again, it's going to be lighthearted, a little fun, and really people, they call this explanation, I'm about to give you this example, people call it the plate drop scenario, if you want to look it up later, okay? So I'm going to give you an example of some of these gifts in operation. It's not weird, it's practical, but again, we're going to have some fun. So imagine with me for a moment that that you're at a banquet, okay? And there's a lot of people represented at this banquet, and there's some really, really good food. Now, that makes some of you hyperventilate right now because you're thinking COVID, and I don't want to be around a lot of people. But whatever has to happen in your mind, like maybe everybody got vaccinated, or maybe everybody's wearing 14 masks. I don't know. But like whatever makes you comfortable, you're at the banquet, okay? So here you are. You're at the banquet. You got all these people around you, and everybody's got their plate of food, and all of a sudden, somebody at the banquet, they drop their plate of food on the floor, and it shatters. How many of y'all know, when that happens, everybody stops for a moment, right? Like happened to us yesterday. My family and I, we were with Tony, our worship director, and we were at kind of brunch, and that happened in the restaurant, and how many of y'all know, when that happens, everybody stops and looks, right? Well, in this scenario, people don't just stop and look and they don't awkwardly applaud, which, by the way, don't do that when somebody like does something embarrassing. Like, that doesn't help, okay? But like in this scenario, people don't just gawk, they don't mock, they actually helps. That person drops their plate of food, it shatters. Well, somebody who has the gift of mercy, that's one of the gifts we'll talk about in a moment. Here's what they would do in that scenario. They would run over to the person. They would get down eye level and they could care less about the plate or the food. And they would say this, "How are you feeling? How are you doing? You know what? I know this is really embarrassing, but you are not alone in this fight. Can I pray with you right here and there?" Like, that's what they would do, somebody with the gift of mercy. And somebody else in that same scenario, that same room, let's say they've got the gift of preaching. You know what they would do in that scenario? They would walk on over, head held high with boldness, and they would say this, "You know what? You were holding your food on your plate wrong. You got to turn from that," right? Like, you were distracted. Come on, you know better than that. Come on, let's do it differently. Let's make sure you're focused on the main thing. Keep the main thing, right? That's what the person with the gift of preaching would do. On the other hand, somebody in that same scenario, plate drop demonstration, someone who has the gift of teaching, here's how they'd approach that situation. They'd walk on over to that person and say, "You know what? You were actually holding the plate wrong. And so what you need to do next time, like, this will really help you, is you actually need to spread out your fingers underneath that plate. Make sure you got your palm, like, real flat and firm underneath the middle. Don't get it a little bit to the side, like, right there. But not only that, not only do you need to, like, disperse the weight of that plate, but if you actually leverage your arm, gift of teaching, that's what they would do. If you actually leverage your arm in the right place, you can more easily next time carry that plate of food. Well, the person with the gift of giving, what would they do? They would walk on over. These are all gifts that we're going to go through. They walk on over and say, "You know what? Have my plate." Or better yet, they would say this, "I've already bought you another plate of food. It's covered. It's taken care of. You don't need to pay me back. It's on the way." The person with the gift of encouragement in that scenario, they would, like, jog on over, because people with that gift, like, they can't walk anywhere. You know what I'm talking about? And they'd be like, "Oh, that stinks, but you know what? Failure is not falling down. It's falling down and not getting back up. Come on, there's a champion on the inside of you. And the eye of the tiger starts playing, you know? Rise up on your feet. You can conquer that mountain." That's the person with the gift of encouragement. You got all these different gifts represented. Here's one more. You got somebody with the gift of leadership. They'd walk on up the scenario. They'd assess the scene quickly, and everybody just kind of gawking or mocking, and they would say, "You know what? Bob, here's what you're going to do. Go grab a mop to clean this up. And Larry, here's what you're going to do. You make sure they get another plate. Let's make it all, make sure everything's good. And not just that, Susan, why don't you come on over here and walk them back to their table, make sure they're doing okay. I've got a vision for how this should look. I'm going to make sure this never happens again." That's the gift of leadership. And here's what I want you to see today, that there's one problem, one issue that can be solved in many different ways, with different people operating in their spiritual gift. And what does Paul say in 1 Corinthians 12 at the very end, verse 7? The gifts are given for a purpose, for the common good. Y'all tracking with me? And so now let's go in to two of these lists and let's go on a journey together, okay? Let's go on a journey. Let's start with Romans 12. Romans 12. This is also written by Paul the Apostle, another list. Romans chapter 12. I'm going to read through verses 6 through 8, still NIV. I'll be NIV all day. And here's what Paul says, a completely different book, but another list. He says this, "We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement," Paul says. "If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. And if it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully." So right here we see about seven gifts that Paul gives us. And I want to break it down. Again, I want to make this so practical, so easy for all of us. So let's start with prophecy, because that's where Paul starts in this list. Let's start with prophecy. You see, God has given the gift of prophecy to some of us in the church. He has. Some of you are like, "Yep, that's my gift. I know it is." And here's what this looks like practically. If someone has the gift of prophecy, this is someone who hears from God and then declares what God says boldly to someone else. That's all it is. We have these like issues or these blockades in our minds that it seems so far off. How could I ever do anything like that? But literally, it's someone hearing from God and being a mouthpiece for God. They're speaking out the word of God for someone else to help them. Remember, it's for the common good. This is not a weird gift, friend. It's a great, necessary gift, and it's given to God's people. And by the way, as we go through this list, and we'll go to another one here in a moment, like they're all important, every single gift, okay? They're not in order of importance. They're all important. What's the next gift that Paul talks about in Romans 12? He talks about the gift of serving. Not a weird gift, right? A normal gift, something God has given to his people. And I know so many of us in the church that you have this gift, this supernatural ability on your life. And hear me, it is just as important as the gift of prophecy. Come on, can I get a better amen in God's house for that? Like, it is just as important. Prophecy is not more spiritual or more important than this gift. They're all important. And the Holy Spirit, remember what we read already, the Holy Spirit picks which gifts go where, but they're all meant to help people. And so if you got this gift on your life, and many of you do, this is where you use your hands to help people. We got men in the church that you can build things and just do incredible work with your hands, and you think it's natural, and maybe you have some natural ability, but friend, it's really supernatural. I can tell y'all, and I've told you many times, I can barely hang a picture on the wall, okay? This is not my gift, right? Like it's just, like, I don't have that supernatural. Now, we all serve. Y'all get that. We've talked about that here recently, but I'm talking about the supernatural ability. We've got women in our church that you are just incredible hostess, and you just make people feel so welcome, and how you serve and how you organize and how you operate. It's a supernatural gift, and it's just as important as prophecy. Next, Paul talks about teaching, and we got lots of people in the church that you got this gift, this supernatural ability on your life. Like, well, how do I know if I have this gift or not? I'll tell you how you know. When you read the Bible and you receive fresh revelation, you can't shut up about it. Like my teachers are laughing right now because you know that's true. Like you can't keep it for yourself. Even if it was just for you, you got to share it with at least one other person. Well, you probably got the spiritual gift of teaching on your life. Like you can take difficult concepts, difficult theology, and make it easy to understand. You've got prophecy, you've got serving, you've got teaching, and then you've got encouragement. Man, I don't know about y'all, but we need some more encouragement in 2021. Can I get a witness? Like, I know a lot of people, and you probably do too, and don't you dare point fingers if they're here with you, but we know people, they got the opposite gift, right? They got the gift of criticism on their life. How many of y'all know you won't find that gift on one of these lists, right? Like, that's not from God. But people just think it's their mission to tell everybody else like what they did wrong and how they should have done it, right? But on the opposite side, the spiritual gift of encouragement is so needed. It's so necessary inside the church building, outside the church building. But I'll talk about my life. There's several of you that have that gift on your life, and you're constantly encouraging me, and it makes a difference. Anybody that speaks for a living, again, we've got foot and mouth disease, pastors, okay? Like we say things we didn't mean to say, or we beat ourselves up, we're our worst critic, and we got people in the church that they'll encourage me as the Holy Spirit leads. It's not fluff or trying to stroke an ego, like literally as the Holy Spirit leads and guides them, they'll encourage me. It's an important gift. Let's keep going. What's Paul saying next? He says giving. Man, we have so many families, so blessed here in the church, so many families. You have this gift on your life. Now, we're all called to tithe and support the local church. Not talking about that. We're talking about above and beyond inside a church building, but also outside the church building. And we got families, man, this gift, this supernatural ability is on your life. And here's what you know. And if you got this gift, you know it. But here's what you understand, maybe that most people don't understand, is that your ability to make money, to accumulate wealth, is not really for you. That God gives it to you because God wants to give through you. Can I get an amen? And that's that gift, that ability. So not only are you tithing faithfully, that's for all of us. My family and I do that. We got our tithe right here. Like everybody does that. But the gift of giving is you're constantly going above and beyond that. Every time we have a special offering, you're leading the charge. We got so many families represented in the church that do that. Like, it's because of you that we don't have to, like, pass a bucket. What do I do? Every service, I talk about giving for, like, 3.5 seconds, right? Like, thank you for your giving. It's because we have families in the church. You got this gift on your life. It's just as important as all the other gifts. What's he say next? He talks about leadership. A bunch of you have this gift, too, and some of you maybe don't even know it. But those that are functioning in this gift, can I challenge you for a second? Don't just use the supernatural ability of leadership, that spiritual gift. Don't just use it outside of a church building. Like, use it in the church. Use it to help other people. Like you're doing great with your business. You're one of those C-class leaders in the company that you're a part of. But, like, use it in the church. It's a spiritual gift. It's a supernatural ability God's put on your life. And what's Paul say lastly in Romans? He says this. Some of you have the gift of mercy. We got people in the church, you've got this gift. People that do meals and our cares ministry and taking care of people and visiting people in the hospital. It's this gift of mercy where you minister to other people's needs. If you have this spiritual gift on your life, this is where you show mercy and you show kindness and you show compassion to other people. Like, you can't easily move past someone who's hurting. Like, you have to at least pray for them. Like, even if you're busy and on a mission, you can't pass the individual to perform a task. Because why? Because people matter. It's the gift of mercy. And it's not natural. You explained it. Oh, it's just my natural gift. Maybe natural gift lines up a little bit with it, but it's really supernatural. It's a spiritual gift from the Holy Spirit that has come upon your life. Why? For the common good, to help people. Y'all still tracking with me? All right, let's keep going. Another list. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, our main text. Now, we finished reading in verse 7. I'm going to reread verse 7, but then we're going to keep going because Paul gives us another list of spiritual gifts. Maybe if you've grown up in church like myself, maybe you're a little bit more aware of this list. But here's what he says. Again, I'll reread verse 7 first. 1 Corinthians 12. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there's given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. None of this is weird, right? You could see how this could really be helpful. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. We'll walk through this all together. I'll explain what it looks like practically. To another, speaking different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. And all these, all of them, are the work of one and the same Holy Spirit. And he distributes them to each one just as he determines. What's that mean, Pastor? It means you don't get to pick your spiritual gift. The Holy Spirit picks your spiritual gift or gifts, and he knows best, okay? So let's walk through these together. Let's break it down practically. Hope this is helping somebody this morning. Here's the first one he talks about, wisdom. It's the gift of wisdom. It's a supernatural ability. It's a spiritual gift from the Holy Spirit upon his people to help other people. Well, here's what this looks like practically. If you have this spiritual gift, hear me loud and clear, friend. This is supernatural insight into what's going on in a situation. That's what the gift of wisdom is in operation. Supernatural insight into what's going on in a situation. Just like the other gifts we talked about already, it's very, very practical. You see, the Holy Spirit, if you've got this gift, he will give you wisdom of what's really going on in your life. Like, not what people say is going on, but like what's really going on. This will happen with your kids. Man, parents, we desperately need the gift of wisdom upon our lives to really know what's going on. What happens when you ask your kids about their day? It was good. Well, what else happened? It was good, right? Like you can ask about something and there's really an issue and for whatever reason they don't share. Well, the supernatural ability, the gift of wisdom will help you see into what's really going on, not just with kids, but your coworkers, your friends, your family, your classmates, even random people that you meet. The Holy Spirit, if you have this gift upon your life, will give you that supernatural ability to know what's really going on. People can't hide behind the Christian smile anymore, right? Like, you really know what's going on. And the idea is not to like hurt them or come against them, but to help them, to help them. Next, Paul talks about the gift of knowledge, the gift of knowledge. And this is divine understanding. Like, I don't care how many degrees you have, okay? This is divine. This is from the Holy Spirit, divine understanding. This is where the Holy Spirit gives you strength to know what to do in a situation. Like to know what to do in your marriage. How many married people, like we all have issues and struggles and things that we're working through. We want this gift. This gift is so helpful to know what to do, to know what to say. It's divine understanding from the Holy Spirit. If you own a business, we got so many business leaders and business owners in the church. Like you want this gift. We need this gift. Divine understanding to know what to do in the business. It's not natural, friend. It's supernatural. Here's the next one. What does Paul say? If you're tracking with me, you know what's coming. He says, faith. Faith. This is a gut level faith. It's a faith that you are firm, that you believe, like you believe it, like cellular level, right? DNA level. You believe that God can do the impossible. Like you're facing something and it's insurmountable. It seems impossible, but you just have this gift of faith on the inside that you just know, like you don't know how he's going to do it, but you just know he's going to do it. Like you don't know how it's going to work out, but you just know that God is going to come through. And some of you have this gift of faith on your life. I don't have to figure it out. I don't have to come up with 10 steps. God's got this. That's the gift of faith. Next, Paul talks about the gift of healing. Man, this is a great one. They're all so important. I hope God's just speaking right now. Like, yes, I've got that gift, or I want that gift from God to help people. The gift of healing, if you've got this on your life, this is God using your prayers to heal someone. Like you praying for somebody who's got cancer, and God showing up and them being healed. Is that not an important gift, friend? Someone's hurting and they got back issues. How many of y'all know when you got back issues, you got everything issues, right? Like the spine goes all the way, like it just messes everything else up. You got sleeping issues. When you've got things that are going on in your physical body, in your mind even, if you get around somebody that's got this spiritual gift of healing, they pray for you, not in their name, in Jesus' name, and Jesus shows up and he heals. Some of you have this gift on your life. What's the next one? He talks about miraculous powers. Incredible. This is God performing miracles through you. We read this in the Bible, don't we? Sun standing still, waters parting, water being turned into wine, right? Like we've got all these incredible things that happen in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, and that's the Holy Spirit putting a gift on someone's life and moving miraculously through them. It's an incredible gift. Next, he talks about prophecy. Now, this is the one repeat, isn't it, from what he says in Romans. We've already talked about this one already, but here's what you need to know. Again, practical. The gift of prophecy has greatly impacted my life. It's not weird. Can I tell you something else? A little over 3 years ago, my family and I, we were in Dallas. That's where we're from. And God literally, the Holy Spirit came upon people, not in a church service even. It doesn't have to be in a church service. It definitely can be, but it didn't have to be. But the Holy Spirit came upon people, gave them this gift, and literally they were the mouthpiece for God. They spoke into my life. They had no idea that my family and I, with our senior pastor, we were prayerfully considering, like, what does God have next for us? We were in a transition, and we hadn't told anybody except for our senior pastor. And in that transition, God literally used people of God to speak prophetic words into my life, in my family's life, and that is one of the major reasons why we're here today. Didn't know anybody in Houston. Didn't know about Christ Covenant Church. Christ Covenant Church didn't know about me. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to show you that these gifts are needed in 2021, just like they were 2,000 years ago. They're not weird. What's he talk about next? He talks about distinguishing between spirits. You probably don't know what this one is unless you came from a charismatic background, and I'll break it down for you. This is actually one of the gifts that I operate in. Here's what it is. This is special discernment. Special discernment. Like if you have this gift on your life, this supernatural ability, this spiritual gift from the Holy Spirit, you can really sense what's going on in a situation behind the scenes spiritually. You hear somebody talk about God, or you're in a situation where somebody's acting like they're a certain way when it comes to God or whatever, and you can really see into what's happening. You can really sense, is this God speaking? Is this God leading? Or are they pretending it's God, but it's really something else? That's the distinguishing between spirits. So necessary, so important. Now, these last two are the ones that probably make some people nervous, but we're going to talk about them because they are on the list, okay? Here's what Paul says next. He talks about speaking in tongues. For those that are not from a charismatic background, you may not even know what that is. You just hear that phrase, speaking in tongues, and you're already running for the exits, okay? And so let me break this down what it is. It's a special language that God gives to a person. That's it. It's a special language that God gives to a person, and you need to know this is another gift that I operate in. And it's not weird. People are weird. The Holy Spirit's not weird. And it's a gift that I operate in. In fact, almost every single day, if not every single day, I will speak in other tongues. I'm not making a big, huge scene. You never heard me shout it out before, but I'm just praying. Sometimes it's in my mind. Sometimes it's just real quietly, but it's an important gift. And it goes hand in hand in a group gathering context with the interpretation of tongues. So sometimes that's the same person. They'll speak in tongues and they interpret that language, and then other times they'll speak in tongues and someone else will interpret, kind of like prophecy, speaking out from God. Now, hang with me, because some of you, I can see it on your face, you're getting nervous right now, okay? Hang with me for a second. Here's what we believe at this church. We believe in the entire Bible, okay? The entire Bible. I wish I would have got more than one amen right there, you know? Like, I wish, like that's important. That's a major... I tell you all the time, don't major in minors. That's not a minor thing. That's a major thing. Like, we believe at this church, I'm the senior pastor, the CEO, whatever you want to call it, and we believe, and as long as I'm here, and I hope I'm here for a long, long time, that we believe the Bible is the inspired, perfect word of God. So since that's the case, I'm just sharing with you, let's think logically for a second, especially if you're nervous right now. Because that's the case, we are not allowed to cut out gifts that make us uncomfortable. We won't do it under my watch. And that's a big part of my responsibility. We won't. Now, when gifts are in operation, we'll explain and I'll coach you through. I'll pastor you through. In fact, Paul spends not only 1 Corinthians chapter 12, but chapter 13, which you think is the love chapter, and yes, it's about love, but it also talks about the gifts. And then he also spends 1 Corinthians chapter 14 talking about how the gifts should operate in the church context in a group gathering, not in chaos. Like, people should not be swinging from chandeliers, okay? Or acting really crazy and weird. No, it should be normal. Like, it should be in order. And again, that's not your job. That's my job and the elders' job to make sure that if ever it gets out of line, that we step in a grace-filled way, right? And we help coach and we help guide. Can I get another witness in the 9:30 a.m. fire, okay? So it's all or nothing when it comes to God's word. Either believe it all or you believe none of it at all. And here at this church, we believe it all, even if it makes us a little bit uncomfortable. All right, so I've taken you on a journey through a couple of the lists. Again, I hope you'll go through all of them. I shared a couple more of them at the very beginning. You can watch this back on YouTube later if you didn't catch it, because I know I talk fast. But I want to circle back to our main text as we get ready to shut this thing down. But I am not done, okay? So don't pack up yet. But I want to give you three takeaway truths The idea in the message today, what I was so excited about, is I wanted to take you on a journey through a couple of the lists, show you how practical the Holy Spirit's gifts for us are meant to be to help others, and then I wanted to tell you what to do next. You see, the church should not just be inspiration. Like we should help you know, like, what to do with that inspiration. Like, inspired, but like, what do I do practically? What do I do next? What's my next step after the message today? And I've got three steps for every single person. This is my dream for you, Christ Covenant. It's what I'm dreaming for. The first point is this, from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that beginning portion. The first is this: I dream that you would discover your gifts. It's my dream for you. Come on, would you lean in? Just a couple more minutes. Man, it's my dream for you. That you would discover the supernatural ability that, like maybe even feel like it's like it's locked up, that you would feel God unlock that gift. That you would discover it. Like some of y'all, like, can you look in my eyes for a second? Some of y'all don't know how exciting your life can be. Like, you just don't know how incredible. You're like, something's missing. Maybe this is it. You see, God has picked which gift or gifts to give to his people, his children. And when you discover that gift, it's like a whole new world opens up to you. So that's my heart for you, that you would discover your gift. And I want to help you do that. Real practical. And this won't help anybody online, unfortunately, what I'm going to say next, but you can email us if you're interested in what I'm going to say. But here in the back, we've got a Start Bible Kit table. It won't be manned or anything like that. But on it, there's a stack. I don't have a ton of them, but there's a small stack of what's called a spiritual gift assessment test. It's a way that you can take, just a few pages, that you can take a test answering questions, ranking them 1, 2, or 3, and it breaks it all down. And it'll help you discover what your spiritual gift or gifts are. But here's what's even like better, is what we've done is we've gone in, and there's about 27 gifts listed on there. But we've gone in and we've connected the gifts to things that you can do in God's house. So if you got the gift of administration, we didn't talk about that today, but that's one of the gifts. We show how it connects to like kids check and kids ministry and different areas, midweek office. And like, I think that's pretty cool. I don't know what y'all think about, but I think that's pretty special. Normally you got to pay for that, but that's free. You got just a few packets in the back. But regardless, that's my heart for you, Christ Covenant, that you would discover your gifts. Number two is this, that you would embrace your gifts. Can I tell you, gifts are nothing to fear. People are weird, not the Holy Spirit. Like, embrace your gift. God could have given you any gift, but he gave you that gift that you have for a reason. To use for his glory, not for your own. So embrace it. Lean into it. Don't run away from it. Like, can I tell you, friend? Spiritual gifts are not for the spiritually elite. They're for everyone. What's my first week? They're for you. Well, I'm from a Methodist background, Baptist background. We either didn't talk about this and I'm real nervous, or we talked against this. It's for you too, for every single person. So embrace it, lean into it. They're all important. One is not better than the other. They are all necessary in 2021 to make a difference. Let me say this too. I alluded to it a couple of times earlier, but I want to just laser in on it right now. Remember what I've said, what I've mentioned. A spiritual gift is not a natural ability. So, for example, I've been real honest during this Holy Spirit series about my speaking and how it's come up through, and even the series we did before called This Is What We Do. And people don't believe me till they get to know me. But once you've gotten to know me, you know this is true, that I would much rather not be up here with a microphone right now. Like I would love to be in your seat having somebody else. So what I'm trying to say is this is not my natural ability. It's the Holy Spirit coming upon my life, giving me the supernatural ability, the spiritual gift of preaching and teaching. And so sometimes it does line up. Like I've heard pastors say, and I just don't agree with this all the way, but I've heard pastors say, well, whatever you like to do naturally, that's probably your spiritual gift. And I just don't agree with that because I'm living proof of it, that I'd much rather not be up here doing this. Now, sometimes they line up, but not every time. So embrace your gift, whatever it is. Embrace it, lean into it. It may not line up with your natural ability, but that's probably a good thing, right? Because it causes you to rely on the Holy Spirit. The last takeaway truth is this. You're seeing all the scripture references in the room. This is the main text. Number three is use your gift. Use it. Like use your gift. Remember what I said at the beginning, the problem we established at the beginning of this message? 2/3 of Christians don't use their gift. That's so sad. There's help. Like common good. God wants to work in you and through you to touch someone else's life. So discover your gift, embrace your gift, and use your gift. Can I get like real bold and step on your toes for just a second here? Like I just got to get in your face for a second, coaching you up, okay? In fact, would you write this down? There's a slide for this. But do not insult the giver of the gift. Do not insult God by keeping your gift undiscovered or unused. Come on, yeah, there it is on the screen. Come on, think about this with me. Don't insult the giver of the gift, God, by leaving your gift. You have a gift. By leaving it undiscovered and unused. My wife, she was the one that hosted earlier, and Isabel, who was up here for the message, and she talked about we have 3 kids, Luke, Nora, and Lucy. Think for a moment. As their father, if I come to my kids and I'm like, you know what, I want to give you, each of you, 3 distinct gifts, incredible gifts that were costly, that were really important, have a lot of value, and I want to give you these gifts to change the world. Just think with me for a moment before we pray. So I come to Luke, and how many of y'all know that like all your kids are different, right? Like you would think they would all be the same, but anybody's got multiple kids like us, they are all completely different. So we come to Luke, and I'm like, Luke, man, God's made you this way, and I've been thinking about it, I've been praying about it, and here's this gift, and I want you to use it to change the world. And then we come to Nora, and she's just 3 years old, Miss Independent. Love her so much, man. She is strong in her will, and we're praying that God's going to use that in her faith. I come to Nora and say, Nora, God's made you this certain way, and as your father, I want you to know I love you and I believe in you, and here's this gift, and it works with your strengths, but also will help you in your weaknesses, and here it is, change the world. And then we come to Lucy, and Lucy's just kind of like there right now because she's 1 year old, right? And so like they're taking it in, but you can't always see the lights on, you know what I'm saying? It's like, did he just say that? Yes, I did. Awesome. Thank you. That's the gift of encouragement right there. But I come to Lucy and say, Lucy, I love you so much. And I just really believe God's given you some strengths here. And there's some weaknesses we're going to work on here. But here's this gift. Change the world. So I give each of my kids this special, costly, valuable gift to change the world. And what if they never used it? What if they kept it in a drawer somewhere, thinking they could do it on their own, or honestly, maybe they could care less about making a difference? I give that example because that's happening with far too many Christians, friend. God's given you a gift. He gave it to you on purpose for a reason. But so many haven't discovered, and so many aren't using the gift. That's the bad news. The good news is we're going to step into that now, right? Not in a weird way, not in a superficial way, not in a way to point fingers at us for the common good. Not just in a service, but outside the walls of church buildings, making a difference everywhere that we go, using that supernatural ability that God has given us. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, you know my heart for your church here, my heart to help them discover, to embrace and use their gift. I pray that fear would not stop them from stepping in and receiving everything that you have for them to help others. I pray, God, that they would understand, maybe for the first time, how practical the gifts should be to help people, to help others. And I pray, God, that you would help your people, help us to use the supernatural abilities you've given us to make a difference, to change the world. And when we do that, I'm telling you, just there's going to be eyes that are just opened. Man, I never knew life could be this fun. I never knew fulfillment like this, discovering the gift God has given me and actually using it to help someone else. And God, I pray lastly for anybody underneath the sound of my voice that's far from you, I pray today would be their day of salvation. That's the first step in the journey, submitting our life to you. And I pray, God, for anybody. Like, it's not a coincidence that you're here, friend. It's not a coincidence. God has orchestrated it all. He loves you and he cares for you. No matter what got you here or what you think got you here, God has an assignment for me today, and it's to lead you in a prayer of surrender, a prayer of commitment to the Lord. That just like me, years and years ago, that you would come to God just as you are. And as you surrender your life to him, he's the one that's going to clean you up. He's the one that's going to give you that fresh start to forgive you of your sin. Holy Spirit, even now, he's convicting, he's drawing. You feel it, you sense it. But it's up to you to make that decision to surrender. So here's what we're going to do. Eyes closed, heads bowed. If you're here today and you're far from God, but you want to get things right, you want to give your life to him, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I'm going to give you some ideas on things that you would say to him. See, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So you can do that right now. You don't have to shout it. You can whisper it in the room online. You can tell him things like this: Jesus, I confess that you are God. I believe you are the one true God. I believe that you died on the cross, Jesus, and I believe that you rose from the dead. And so I put my faith and my trust in you and you alone. I surrender my life. I give you the good, the bad, and the ugly. I give you everything, Lord. And I ask you to come in right now and clean me up. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I've fallen short, and I realize now, as the Holy Spirit is showing me, that my sin separates me from you. So I ask you, God, to forgive me of my sin, to give me that fresh start, and to help me live my life for you all the days of my life. God, thank you for those that are making that decision. It's the best decision they'll ever make. Lord, we love you so much, and thank you for what you've done today in this service. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ, or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcove.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcove.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.